All right. Well, church, good morning. Nice to see you. And boy, do we have a great opportunity as a church this morning to come to the Lord's table and to remember the death and resurrection of Jesus. So welcome to Calvary Chapel of the High Desert on this Communion Sunday as we remember what Christ has done. And so we finished the Sermon on the Mount, and this week, in light of communion, we're going to go to the Old Testament, and I'd like for you to find a very familiar psalm, Psalm 23, this morning. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and just locate the first verse there for a message entitled, Satisfied in a World of Want. Satisfied in a world of want. Psalms 23. Here we go, just the first verse there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Father, we come before you and we thank you this morning that when you are our shepherd, my shepherd, I shall not want. And so thank you, Lord, that as a group of believers in Christ, as Christians, that you, Lord, have met our needs. Thank you, Lord, that you meet both our physical and spiritual needs. Father, thank you that we lack no good thing in your Son, Christ. And so, Lord, what a privilege it is to gather this morning and to sing of your faithfulness, to sing of your great goodness, your trustworthiness, Lord, to declare that Christ is risen, that you are alive, that you are true. But Lord, also to gather as a group of believers in this desert and come to the table and to remember Christ's body, which was broken for us, Christ's blood, which was shed for us, and the promises that we are under because of your sacrifice, your giving of your Son to forgive us of our sins. And so, Lord, we know in this world there are many things that promise satisfaction. There are moments in which we are happy, moments in which we are satisfied, but Father, those moments when not grounded in you are fleeting. And so, Lord, may we remember that when you are our shepherd, we shall not want. And so speak to us now through the preaching and teaching of your word. Prepare our hearts to come to the table. And Lord, if there's any in here that are not a part of the family of God, that have not found forgiveness and salvation in Christ, may they, Lord, believe in him, confess their sin and turn from it, and be able to come to your table to remember what your Son has done for them. And so work now as we turn our attention to this psalm in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. There is something in our culture that is more elusive than Bigfoot. There is something that has momentary sightings, but to really attain, to reach out and to grab, you might think you grab it, but really you simply grasp at a shadow. What is it that's so elusive? It is that thought of satisfaction. We go through our world, we live in this world, and we have little moments where we're maybe satisfied. We sit down in our attainment and we go, I'm satisfied, I made it, but that satisfaction in this world quickly just leaks out or runs away. Think about it, those moments in your life of achievement in which you were satisfied in what you had accomplished, but a few months later, things began to change and that satisfaction wasn't quite what it was. The dream job, the dream house, the relationship, the marriage, it all has those moments where you realize this doesn't seem to cash in like I thought it would. I remember a few years back listening to an interview done by a British outlet of American man who had been extremely successful in the world's eyes through social media. He had amassed a popularity of tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of followers. He lived the dream of a man, giving into anything and everything that he could possibly want. He had women, fast cars, great vacations. He had that picturesque thought of, boy, that is really having it all. But what caught my attention was in the interview, the journalist asked him about a supercar that he had recently bought, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he said in the interview, oh, that car, I drove it once. I took it out for 15 minutes. It just didn't do it for me. It just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. At the height, yet satisfaction was elusive. C.S. Lewis wrote it really well in Mere Christianity. He said, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. King Solomon gave himself to all the things of this world, and he concluded in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 8, everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. This world does not offer what the Lord's table offers to us this morning. And that is a satisfaction in a world of want. And so look with me at verse 1 and begin to see that we can, as believers, have in this world a satisfaction that is otherworldly, a satisfaction that it's kind of interesting and unique, a satisfaction that is found in a shepherd of all persons, of all things to look at. It says, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice how David sets this psalm up. He starts with the Lord. And so it's a great reminder of the God of his people. When he speaks of the Lord, the self-existent one, the one who has always been, the one who has no start, no end, no beginning, the one who is the creator of all things. You can see how vast the Lord is. He's beyond our comprehension. But notice what he attaches. The Lord, the great self-existing, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, mind-blowing Lord is my what? Shepherd. In other words, for the first time in the Psalms, we have David come here and bring the Lord very close. He uses an intimate metaphor that is yet to be encountered in the Psalms. You can look through and see that the Lord is your shield, your rock, that he is a deliverer, that he is king. But in this moment, he becomes intimately close to the believer. He is the shepherd, meaning he's the one that gets close to the sheep. He's the one that walks amongst us. He's the one that watches over and protects us. He's the one that cares for our ailments. He's the one that brings us to the green pastures that we'll notice in a moment. And here David, as himself a shepherd, understands exactly what this intimacy looks like. Not only brings the Lord close to us to satisfy, but you see that he uses a possessive pronoun as you go to verse 1 yet again. Not only is the Lord a shepherd, but he is my shepherd. It's personalized. You mean I'm a part of his flock? You mean the one who protects and cares and picks up and brings in is my shepherd? I'm a part of his flock? Absolutely. As James Montgomery Boyce writes, the great God of the universe has stooped to take just such care of you and me. In a world with all of its wants, look at this, you pause that if the Lord is your shepherd, you are a part of his flock, he cares for you, he loves you, and as the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 40 verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. There is the shepherd of all shepherds who gathers his people in, who meets their needs, who is personally close to them, who does not leave them nor forsake them. And in that context, David then says, I shall not want. I'll lack no good thing. I will have a satisfaction in my life in which God and only God alone can meet. It follows through in the Psalms. A few Psalms later in Psalms 34, verse 9 and 10, listen to this. The fear the Lord, you his godly people. For those who fear him will have all they need. Do you hear the satisfaction? Lack no good thing. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. It's found in the New Testament in Romans chapter 8. In verse 32, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He gives me all things. I lack no good thing. I am not in need when the Lord is my shepherd. And so in our time together, before we come to the Lord's table, I want you to see in Psalm 23 that there are four seasons of life in which we are satisfied when the Lord is our shepherd. Four seasons of life in which we are satisfied when the Lord is our shepherd. When the Lord is our shepherd, no matter what we endure, what we go through, what we face, there can be a satisfaction that all our needs are met. And so look at this, the four seasons. The first season is good times. Good times. The second season is restoring times. The third season is dark times. And the fourth season is future times. So as we walk through, no, if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want you to watch how the Lord is with you and satisfies in all seasons of life. The first season, verse 2 of Psalm 23, is the good times. You get really quick that if we have this shepherd analogy, if the Lord is the shepherd, then guess what we are? We are the sheep, right? We are a part of the flock. And look at this. In verse 2, you see the great good times. You see the dream location of every sheep. The dream vacation of any sheep would be verse 2. He makes me to lie down in what kind of pastures? Green pastures. He leads me beside what kind of waters? Still waters. This is the dream vacation in all of the brochures amongst all of the Walmarts for the sheep. Like, this is it. It's green pastures. It's still waters. It is incredibly good times. I have a pastor friend who was asked to go and do a wedding for a couple, and they took him to the wedding in Switzerland. Yeah, and so him and his wife are in Switzerland, and they're driving, and he says, all of a sudden, my wife starts to kind of yell, hey, stop the car, stop the car, stop the car. And he's like, so I pulled over really quick, and I'm like, are you okay? And she said, look at that. That is the Windows computer screensaver right there. Do you see those mountains in that green grass? It was good times. Do you see here? He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he starts in these good times, these green pastures and these still waters. As you walk through and you can see how great this is, this dream location, you have that this season, there is a physical satisfaction. For the sheep, they have green pastures. For the sheep, they have still waters. And so there is a sense here that you might think, well, of course there's satisfaction here. All the needs physically are met. But there's more than just the physical need. You come here and see to how good these times are. Notice that the sheep, that he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep are not like dogs. If you tell a dog, you know, lay down, they'll lay down. Or sit, they'll sit. Sheep lie down really only at one time from what I read from the experiences of shepherds, and that is when they are full. When they are satisfied physically, they're ready for a nap. You come here and he says, he makes me lie down, but notice where he lies you down, by green pastures. He leads me by still waters. You can see the goodness and the refreshing of the still waters. The sheep won't drown in the still waters. The sheep can freely drink in the still water. There's a calmness that is present. You have here good times. Just as Jesus promised, remember in the Sermon on the Mount, that what we will eat, what we will drink, and what we will wear, we shouldn't worry about those things because our Heavenly Father knows what we need. And so remember, He told us, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You have that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, even in good times. Here's something you've got to realize, why I would say that it is not the physical satisfaction that is the importance here, because green pastures in the Holy Land are just like green pastures here in the high desert. They last for a few months. Out of the whole year, the experience of one shepherd in 30 years in the Holy Land, he would say the green pastures would last no longer than 3 months max, which meant 9 to 10 months on average. Guess what the pastures would be? High desert brown. So do you see in this aspect, I shall not want, and even in the good times, the physical needs may be met, the grass is green, the water is still, there's a refreshment that is present, but look at where the satisfaction, it's when the Lord is my shepherd. Do you see what the Lord is doing? He makes me to lie down. He's the one that brings you to those refreshing moments. He's the one that meets your needs. He leads me, verse 2, by still waters. How wonderful of a shepherd the Lord is. A good shepherd leads me. He does not drive me. Oh, I shall not want, because I have a shepherd who does not whip me down the road or drag me to the place, but lovingly leads me to where I need to go. Look, there's a second season in which we can find satisfaction in the Lord is my shepherd. It's the restoring times in verse 3. We have the sheep all fat and happy by the green pastures and the still waters, but just like us, sheep have a tendency to wander. You see verse 3, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. While we could say that the green pastures and the still waters is that physical satisfaction, you come in from verse 3 on, you see this spiritual satisfaction. He restores my soul. If you put your finger by that word restore in verse 3, it's this call to bring back. It has the tones of repentance to turn. And it's that picture of a sheep who wanders away from the flock, who is maybe there in the green pastures, but gets up and thinks nobody is looking. And so they want to go out and find their own pasture. They heard that on the other side of the mountain, the pastures are even greener. What they don't know is it's a high desert with fake grass that people have put in because water's so expensive, right? They wander away. But notice what you find, that there are restoring times that you can be satisfied because your shepherd restores your soul. As Jesus would put it, remember in Matthew 18, verse 12, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 on the hill and go out to search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father will that you, even one of those little ones should perish. Can't help but think there may be some this morning that you're here for the first time in a long time, and do you realize that there is a good shepherd who maybe this morning is restoring your soul? He restores my soul, my life, my heart. The restoring means that there was a wandering away. There was a moment in which the sheep or even the person, they want to follow the GPS of their heart. Now realizing that the GPS of your heart will calculate a route that will leave you abandoned in the desert. We all, like sheep, have gone what? Astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, his son Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Oh, prone to wander, as the old hymn says, prone to leave the one I love, but look at what you find. There's restoring times where the good shepherd will come out after his sheep and lovingly bring them back in. Those moments where you think, I'll follow the GPS of my heart, I want to do what feels right, what I think is right, what I believe is right, and abandoned God's truth and God's plan, notice what he will lovingly and graciously do. He will come after you to restore your soul, to put you on the path of righteousness. For the sheep, the right path, the safe path, and he does it all, look at this, for my name's sake. It's a great reminder that even as we come to the communion table this morning, it's a time of really restoring times, that God restores broken, lost lives for his glory and his honor and his name's sake. He restored Peter in his denial. He restored in the prayers of David when David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore the joy of your salvation. It is what the Lord does. It's restoring times. You may have wandered. You may have gone on your own path. This morning, there may even be the hint and the hue of you being lost. The scripture has just become another app on the phone or a volume on the shelf. It's a sign that you could be wandering. Prayer is just talking to yourself instead of access into the living throne room of God. It can be a little sign that you may be wandering. You begin to follow the pattern of the world in your marriage and in your family, and you're not committed to living like Jesus. It can be a sign that you're going astray. Your personal goals and ambitions are becoming self-focused and becoming about self-achievement. It can be a little sign that you are wandering, but notice what it says in verse 2. There are times in which he will restore my soul. He'll pick me up and put me back on the right path. Look at third. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You find in verse 4 that he even satisfies in dark times. In dark times. Very familiar verse to all, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear what? No evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they do what? They comfort me. I remember a while back going through a book by a doctor entitled Being Mortal. It was several hundred pages, and as I was going through it, I realized this is just a book that is just telling me I'm dying and how I'm dying. It would walk you through, and it's realized once you peak in the 20s, it's just like a slow little slope through the valley of the shadow of death. Page after page, I'm like, oh, that's what that means. I'm dying. And we come to that realization that we, though immortal, are trapped in mortal bodies. Though we have the hope of one day being with the Lord for all of eternity, the outward man is perishing day by day, and every little pop and creak and pulled muscle and muscle spasm is a reminder that there are going to be seasons in which the times are dark. We have an eternal soul in a mortal body living in a fallen world. The valley of the shadow of death is real. But look at what he does. He does a wonderful job of picturing the sheep have come into the green pastures and still waters. They have been brought back onto the right path, but they come to this place in life that is called the valley of the shadow of death. There is, in verse 4, this long, chilling shadow that is cast over life that is real. Dark times. It's a picture that is real of the shepherd with his flock coming to this gigantic ravine that would have these walled sides that could be upwards of 30 feet tall and little walkway paths that would swerve in between the ravine or the two mountainsides that would be no greater than 12 feet wide. If you're claustrophobic, you might begin to get a little chill up your spine. The sun would be blocked out. There would be a darkness to it. The temperature would drop. And you find here that even in this dark time called the Valley of the Shadow of Death, that you are with me, verse 4. That there's even a satisfaction in that moment. Do you see verse 4? I will fear no evil. This incredibly scary situation, you have the shepherd who picks up the sheep and buries them in his bosom and leads the way to walk them through. That reality that we all have lost in final days, that we have dark times, whether with loved ones or family members that come. Look at this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We come to the table that reminds us ultimately we have a shepherd who faced death for us and has exposed the valley of the shadow of death as not the final destination, but simply passing through to the destination of life. Look closely and notice what David does. He changes things in verse 4. He leads me by, or he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. But look at verse 4. Do you see the change? For you are with me. God becomes all the more personal in the valley. You are with me. If you look again, look at how close the Lord gets. The good shepherd comes in the valley of the shadow of death. He is so close. You are with me. He moves from he to you. But you see again, you're so close, you see the shepherd's tools. You're close to see his rod. The rod is for protection. Sheep don't have the biting teeth like a dog or a cat or a lion or a coyote. Sheep don't have the speed of a horse. They can't kick. But the shepherd has the rod to protect. He has the rod to count. In other words, the shepherd would put the rod down and count the sheep as they walk past the rod. And so as we go through the valley of the shadow of death, guess what? He makes sure every one of his sheep make it through the valley. He counts them. His staff that lovingly corrects and comforts the sheep will lean upon the shepherd's staff like your oversized, out-of-shape dog will lean on your knee when you stand in the backyard to want to be close to you. Do you see the satisfaction? Even in the dark times, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. There's a satisfaction. If you look very carefully, I want you to see something that's true and real in verse 4, and it's this: I can't run from death, but I can walk through it. I can't run from death, but I can walk through it because he leads me through it. Then you come finally to the final season in which, when the Lord is your shepherd, he satisfies. It's future times. The future times is really just kind of glimpsed in light of even New Testament revelation in verse 6, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So to recap, look at this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In good times, I get that, but good times don't always stay. They go brown, but you have one who satisfies because he makes you lie down and he leads you. You have restoring times when you wander astray. He is this good shepherd that comes after you, picks you up, brings you back, and sets you on the right path. But even in dark times, you have a good shepherd as you face that valley of the shadow of death, and the shadow is cast long, and you're chilled down to your very core. You know that he is with you, and I will not fear. And then look, we come out of the valley of the shadow of death, and look at what you're greeted with in verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell where? In the house of the Lord for how long? Forever. There is a satisfaction when the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That even goes into the future seasons, the eternal seasons. walk through here and see what happens in these future times. You come out of the valley, you're greeted by the warmth of the sun again. You're like, we made it. We weren't swept away by flash flood. We weren't beaten and bruised by robbers hiding in the shadows. We've come out, and as you come out and you catch your breath, you warm up, you see verse 5, there prepared before you is a table. There's prepared before us this morning a table. A table in the presence of your enemies. You see further that there's hospitality that is poured out, not only in the table that's prepared, but you're anointed, your head's anointed with oil, my cup runs over, there's abundance, all needs are met. And what has brought you through this? Look, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There's this pursuit of the goodness of God. There's a pursuit of the loving kindness of God that brings you to this place, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we begin to prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table, and we look really at future times, the wonderful work of the Lord. I want you just to know, verse 5, you prepare a table before me. It's not your preparing. It's not your effort and your work. He prepares the table. We come to the Lord's table this morning to partake of the bread and the cup because God's grace towards us, because He prepared it in His Son. We look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb because the Lord is the one who is setting that table. It is not I who prepare it. And so be refreshed that when the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. It's not your life. It's not, I must prepare a bunch of good works so that God would be happy with me. No, He prepares the table. It's His goodness and His mercy that pursue after you. It's not, I must prepare a life that is all together so people and God aren't ashamed of me. No, do you remember, sheep, that He comes after you when you stray? He prepares the table. It's not this, well, I must prepare this kind of happy life and have it all in order to meet the Lord. And look at how good I have it. Come on in. The house is clean. The closets are even organized. You can go into the bathroom and open the medicine cabinet, and it's even legit. No. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table for me. There's a shift. I'm more than God's sheep. I am one of God's people. The wonderful work of His grace is to take us to a place in which He has prepared a table. We started with green pastures. We walked the path of righteousness that He has set us upon. We traveled through the chilling shadow of death. And now we come to a prepared table. And listen to what the psalmist writes in Psalms 36, verse 8. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from the river of delights. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. My satisfaction has no end because I will be in His house forever. It's a hope that the Christian and the believer has that though governments may fail, riches are lost, health flies away, material goods are destroyed, I have a place where I will be in His house forever. Go back to verse 1 and ask the text a question like, who is my shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. Is that true? And know that as we come to communion and we begin to prepare our hearts, that Jesus really reveals that the one who goes through the valley of the shadow of death, the one who restores my soul, the one who prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy, the one who leads me by to green pastures and still water, said in John chapter 10 and verse 14 through 15, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And then he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Do you see this morning that the one, the good shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, is none other than Jesus Christ himself? And for me to say I shall not want, I need to understand what the shepherd has done to meet my longings and desires. My shepherd, your shepherd, died for you. You come through and you see that he laid down his life. You see that he has a voice in which is familiar to his sheep. We listen to his truth. We hear his voice. Will you hear it this morning when he says, this is my body which is broken for you? Do you hear his voice when he says, this is the cup of the new covenant written with my blood? Do you hear his voice? Do you follow his lead? Are you ready to walk in restoring times and good times and dark times and future times because your shepherd leads you? And do you know that your shepherd has died for you? He laid down his life for his sheep. Listen, as we come to remember that Christ died for us, there's a great stirring that has us not only looking in the past where Christ died, in the present that Christ is with us, but also in the future that we will one day dwell in his house forever. And we have as believers this future time, this future hope. Listen, Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Would you bow for a moment of prayer? As your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, I want you to know that this is a time to reflect and to look at your life. To look and to think, am I really one of the sheep of his fold? Is the Lord my shepherd? Because this table that has been prepared before us this morning is a table in which is a family meal that is set. Communion is not to be just taken by anybody, but by only those that can really truly say, Jesus is my shepherd. Christ died for my sins. Christ rose from the dead. And so as we get ready to hand out the elements, it's for the believer. And if you're not a believer, if you've not been forgiven of your sins, if Christ is not your shepherd, understand that his death, his restoring work on the cross is to take you from wandering in your own effort, wandering in your own sin, wandering in your own shame and in your own guilt, and to forgive you and to bring you back. And if you would confess your sin and believe in Christ this morning, you can be welcomed into the family of God, and there is a table prepared before you. But only if you're right with the Lord. So as you think of that, is the Lord my shepherd? I want to just give an opportunity. If there's anyone in here this morning and you realize, I need forgiveness. I have wandered from the Lord. I am lost, but Christ has sought me out this morning, and I want to confess my sin and believe in Jesus and be saved. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you in the front, and God bless you in the back, on the side. Anybody else in this moment? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God bless you. God bless you. For those of you that raised your hand, I want you to take a minute and go before the Lord. Go before the good shepherd and confess your sin. Go before the Lord and confess what you have come to believe today, that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, died for you. And so if you've raised your hand, pray with me and say, Lord, I see today that I have wandered from you. That, Lord, I have lived in guilt and shame. I have sinned. But I see today that you sent your Son, the Good Shepherd, to die on the cross for my sins. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them today to follow after you. Receive me as one of your own. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for this time we have as believers. And thank you, Lord, that there has been a few more seats pulled up at your table to partake of this meal in remembrance of your Son, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for his sheep. Thank you, Father, that we come as a people that have all that we lack, all that we need, all that we long for in your Son, Jesus. And so may this be a reminder that, Father, you sent your Son is risen, and that he will one day soon return for us, and we will dine with him for all of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.